All right, let's bring in Barry Bloom of MLB.com. Of course, he's a senior writer, and we enjoy having him. He was at the park here last night. Barry, how are you today?
Hey, Barry.
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Very good. You wrote about Jake Arrieta last night, and Pat and I touched upon the things that he can possibly achieve, and we're getting into Clemens and Hubbell and people like that. What's up with Jake Arrieta, Barry? Where do you put him in that group?
Well, I mean, statistically, you have to put him right up there. I'm not sure career-wise right now, you know, you can put him there because he's done it for such a short period of time. But as both Madden and Arrieta said last night, I mean, basically, he's doing what he's doing, and he hasn't even cracked the surface, so we'll see where he goes.
For a guy that's 30, 31 years old, it seems a little bit late in life to really develop all these pitches, Barry. I know that people have whispered steroids or PEDs and all that. To me, just watching that ball dart around last night, that was truly impressive. And what do you attribute just this late career success to and late career dominance?
Well, I think part of it is that, you know, Chris Bosio, the Cubs pitching coach, he seems to work miracles with guys. I mean, as you saw, you know, they reconstituted Trevor Cale as a reliever. They've reconstituted Clayton Richard since he came over from the Pirates last year. You know, they've had very good success with this. And I know they're very close. And even last night where Arrieta really wasn't sharp and he really wasn't on his game, he said that he spent a lot of time talking with Montero and Bosio during the course of the game on how to make adjustments. So much of this is trust. And I think, you know, I put it all on. I liked him when he was in the American League. He showed flashes with the Orioles, but they just never could get him to figure it out. They bounced him up and down from the minor leagues to the major leagues and finally got rid of him. And to me, that's all on Buck. It's all on their pitching coach. It's all on Duquette that they couldn't figure out with him there because obviously he added it.
Okay.
And I don't believe the PED things in his case whatsoever.
Barry, you have been close to Jake Peavy over the years. You covered him down in San Diego, the Cy Young of 2007. You've talked to Peavy a lot. You saw him last night. You've seen him prior to this year as well, during the year. What did you see with him last night, and what are your thoughts about Peavy?
Well, it's the thing with Peavy and any of these pitchers now with decreased velocity is that you start with Zito, you start with Lincecum. When you elevate your fastball in the zone, you're going to get killed against major league hitters. And where PB was effective in Arizona was that wasn't forcing the ball. He was up and down, left and right in the zone. He has an 88, 89 mile an hour fastball. He has breaking pitches that he can throw over in the 70s. There's plenty of space between those pitches for him to be effective. So his problem is when he goes max effort and he's a max effort guy, you know, he can't throw a fastball with the same velocity and strength that he used to, and that's what he tries to do. Because the muscle and pitches and they rise in the strike zone, he gets killed. So essentially what he has to do is he has to figure it out. He's got to, like, decide that this is the way he's going to pitch every game, and especially if he has some problems, don't deviate from it. And last night, you know, we just started getting at the problems, and he just deviated, and that was it.
Boy, interesting. Barry Bloom with us. Barry, Pat, I'll ask you this. You've watched baseball a long time. I have, too, and we've seen games on TV as well. Jason Hayward last night made a catch, and
crazy.
I know he got injured, and we're waiting. He had an MRI today. We'll find out what happened with him. But, Barry, when that ball was hit, in my mind, I said, there is no way in the world anyone is going to catch that ball. And it reminded me of the Mays catch on Vic Wirtz and the Blanco catch in the Matt Cain perfect game. Where did that catch on Hayward made on Denard Span, where did it rank for you?
Well, I actually think it was a better catch than the Mays catch. And the Mays catch, you know, to me, the only place that could have happened was the Polo Grounds, where it was almost 500 feet to center field. And he just kept going, and he made that great over-the-shoulder catch. But in this case, Taylor went after that ball, and he had to lay flat out on the warning track near the 421 sign and make the catch as he was falling. And he almost killed himself doing it.
Yeah.
So I think it was a fantastic catch. I hate to, you know, I'm not going to put one over the other because both had their significance in that situation. But it's a completely different game if that ball bounces away. Span could have had a triple. He could have had an inside-the-park homer. And as I pointed it out to Ed, and he goes, well, he probably would have been on second, and I would have gotten the next three outs. That's how, you know, confident he is in what he's doing right now. So, you know, you can't say enough about it when, you know, a guy is going to give his body like that to save a ball game.
Joe Maddon actually invoked the famous Jim Edmonds catch against the Royals because Joe was on the staff for the Angels in those days. To me, that was an incredible catch as well, different kind of catch. But to think of Jason Hayward, his true strength is his outfield prowess because, I mean, this isn't his home ballpark. And so for him to just throw his body against the wall like that, it was truly an amazing play.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was made without abandon. And, you know, he's struggling offensively this year as he's trying to live up to the contract in Chicago. So there's, you know, that element to it. But defensively, he's always good. So he compensates for it. And, you know, hopefully the MRI will come back fine. There won't be any damage. And he'll be out a few days being sore, but he'll be right back.
Barry, how significant is the Cubs-Giants series here? We see Lester today and Matt Cain. Last night we saw Arrieta and Peavy. Tomorrow, Bumgarner and Hendricks. The Cubs are playing 725 ball, and boy, you know, that's a pace to win about 120 or more. You know, that probably isn't going to happen. Now, what significance do you give this series?
You know, I give it significance only as it's a great series in May, just for the fact that, you know, you had the Giants coming in having won 8 in a row last night, obviously because of PV and the way PV pitched. They came up flat. You know, their 8-game inning streak was fashioned around 8 really good starts. And when they don't get a really good start, they're going to be hard-pressed. And that's what happened last night, you know, with PV. But, you know, it's a glimpse of what could be, you know, a playoff matchup between those two teams in either the early round or the championship series. And when you look at the way the National League is basically sifting itself out, you've got really the Nationals and the Mets, the Cubs, and the Giants at this point who are starting to make separation from really the rest of the league. I just really expect that the Giants are going to continue to play well. They're going to make adjustments to the team just like Bobby Evans and Sabian always do near the trade deadline to pick up somebody they need. And if their component parts stay healthy, you know, they're going to be a very dangerous team all year. I just think the Cubs are playing on all cylinders, and they've just been built to this point. And when I talked to Arrieta last night, you know, one of the things we were talking about were all these numbers and these pitchers that he's getting close to. And he said he really doesn't care. All he cares about is winning the ring. And I said, well, if you keep going like this, that's a better chance of you winning the ring. I mean, their window is now, even though they have a lot of younger players, but they're starting pitching with Lester and Arrieta as old as they are and Lackey as old as they are. You know, this is the year they really have to put it in place to win. And, I think they have a pretty good shot at it the way they're going.
Good stuff from Barry Bloom, MLB.com, at Boomski on Twitter. Hey, Barry, you mentioned Peavy, a guy like him that's throwing in the high 80s at his best, needs to keep the ball down. But the rules committee, they're suggesting bringing that strike zone up a little bit. How would that fare for guys like Peavy that are out there throwing their last pitches? I mean, it doesn't sound like it'd work. What are your thoughts on the rules committee suggestions?
Well, what I'll say is probably going to be heresy to a lot of your listeners, but if you're going to shrink the strike zone even more than it is already, and some umpires pull it where you have to throw the ball in the cup to get a strike, I think then you have to move forward and implement the electronic strike zone so that you have a uniform strike zone for everybody and let the umpires make the call at home, monitor the electronic devices for the balls and strikes, and I think then it would be fair to everybody. But I think if you bring the bottom of the strike zone up with the temperament of all these umpires and the way they call, you know, game, they also have their relationships with the players who show them up. I mean, look at Bryce Harper, for instance. Look, if I'm an umpire, I'd be upset with Bryce Harper, too, and they're just looking for him. And they're going to ring him up on close pitches constantly because they know they're getting under his skin. They know they're going to blow up. He's going to blow up and show up another umpire. And whether that's part of the human element of the game, you can argue that. I think it's wrong, and I don't think umpires should be able to do that. I think if you have an electronic zone, it takes care of it and eliminates it. If you don't, you can't shrink the strike zone.
Boy, interesting. Well, Barry, you'll be with us tomorrow right here at the Public House, so look forward to chatting you about tonight's game.
Yep.
And we'll catch up with you tomorrow right here.
Thanks, Barry.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, that is Barry Bloom. MLB, good report from him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like the fact he talks to the pitchers after the game.
Yeah.